We appreciate everyone here today. I know there are others that have asked that they get a tape of the material, and we're going to try to tape this and put it on the web as well as make it available in other ways. We're going to be beginning this quarter on the topic of improving our marriages. And the very first lesson today is the absolute foundation of everything that really we can hope to understand and as far as having the strength to accomplish improving our marriages. And the title of the lesson today is Things I Give My Mate Because I Am a Christian. And so we're going to talk about commitment to God. We're going to talk about some things that we do because it's an act of the will. We're going to talk about a lot of other things as the quarter goes. I'm very humbled to be preparing this material. I certainly appreciate your interest, and certainly we want to make this practical and above all found in Scripture. I'm trying to avoid a situation where I end up just giving you maybe even good advice from a psychological perspective and us not have it based on Scripture. And so I'm wanting this study to be scripturally based, where we'll be looking at what the Bible teaches and applying God's truths. We talk about all relationships. The faith in God is going to be the foundation of all relationships. As we're talking today, we're going to talk about things I give my mate because I am a Christian. And becoming a Christian, you had to go through a very humbling process to see your shortcomings, to yield your will, and to see the powerful love that gave you that what you needed and not what you deserved. And if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to continue to grow and develop in that mindset. The love of God is a commitment that results in actions. The two greatest commandments Jesus spoke of in Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I'll just give you a shortcut to this class and to these issues. As you face challenges in your marriage, and we all will, the greatest thing you can do is build your faith in God and have a commitment in God where you give Him all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. And so I'm telling you, you want to help strengthen your marriage, you help your mate become more strong spiritually. You encourage that you become more strong spiritually. And maybe we'll just put it in what you can do, and that's kind of my focus in this study, is what you can do. And I think it would create blessings in your marriage. And a point I want to make, and I think we are making, and as we just begin here, is when we talk about the love of God, we're talking about that which comes from God. We see God, we see His thoughts, we see His actions, and we become like Him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. And when we talk about the love of God, I thought about doing a study of the different words for love, but we just didn't have the time for doing all of that. But the word for love in the Greek that denotes the love of God is the Greek word agape. That word agape literally is defined by the lexicon as an attitude of appreciation resulting from a conscious evaluation and choice, use of divine and human love. And really, I like to see divine love defined by Scripture. God so loved us that He did what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When we talk about the love of God, it's an act of the will. It's not an emotion. It's not something that happens because it just rises up. And Barclay, who was a man that wrote about words and well-known scholar in the 50s, he makes a good comment here. He says, agape has to do with the mind. It is not simply an emotion which rises unbidden in our hearts. It is a principle by which we deliberately live. And brethren, in life, also in our marriages, there are going to be times we may grit our teeth. And it may be difficult. But we do, because of an act of the will, what God says we are to do. And your love for God and your standing before God will be tested, particularly in relationships. And so again, as we lay the foundation, a person who loves God with all their whole their mind and will and strength, when they love God like that, they'll be able to have instruction and receive instruction and wisdom to be the kind of mate they ought to be. We're going to be focusing on us, not our mate. We're going to be focusing on us today. What can I give my mate? What do I give my mate? Because I'm a Christian and because I pursue the wisdom that God has given me. It's interesting. It's not just your mates that you love with the love of God. Guess who else you love with the love of God? Your enemies. The same word is used here, agape. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And maybe sometimes, maybe briefly, that might actually seem to be your mate. You know, in times of anger and wrath, and you have to kind of keep things under control. And so again, remember this. It's an act of the will. I'm going to jump ahead because and if you've got the outline, I just want to look at this article. At the end of the outline. By the way, it's in the bulletin today, too. I included this article in the bulletin. It's called, I Don't Love Her Anymore. It says, a 40-year-old man suffering through the classic midlife crisis sat down to talk to a preacher about his problems. He explained how his marriage of 20 years was no longer satisfying or fulfilling. Finally, he reached the bottom line. I just don't love her anymore. He said, what can I do? After a brief moment of reflection, the preacher said decisively, as I see it, you only have one option. The man perked up with anticipation. Was the preacher going to suggest a divorce? Would he be free to pursue the thrilling lifestyle of younger generation that he'd come to admire? Would this be his chance to regain his fleeting youth? What was the preacher's advice? Seems to me that the only thing left for you is to repent. And start loving her again. And point being made here, agape love is an act of the will. And he goes on to describe what happens of how people, when they say they fall out of love, and I realize there's different kinds of love, but the love of God is something you don't fall out of. You choose to leave it. Now, I realize there's an affection that needs to be taught. We'll talk about that in the course of this study. I know that sometimes we don't feel as close to our mates, and things can happen when we don't have that other kind of love. And I realize that has to be nurtured and developed. But the love of God is that which should always be in our lives. It's an act of the will. You know, the truth is, when you become a Christian, it's going to change all your relationships. You're going to become a better boss if you own a business. You're going to become a better employee if you're in a business. You're going to become a better student. You're going to become better in every relationship because we've suggested the love of God now is dictates how you handle relationships. And so remember, again, I've heard this in sermons before. Remember the two greatest commandments what's the first commandment? Love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What's the second commandment? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I've heard some preachers, I think it was Paul Earnhardt, making this point yet. He says, well, your wife or your husband would qualify as your neighbor. and you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And so and that would be true. It would involve with others. And so the love of God is really going to dominate this. And I will say again, if you marry a Christian and they love God, you're going to have difficulty. But if you love God and you're committed to the love of God, you can work through anything. And so again, anything else I say in this lesson will pale in comparison to what we've talked about here. We're going to talk about wisdom a lot, but it's got to proceed from this commitment. Any comments? Yes.
This isn't regarding the marital relationship, but I mean it is from the sense that when you have God first and you have a level of trust with your mate, the same thing goes with your brethren.
Yes.
When you love your brethren as you should and you trust your brethren as
yes.
you should because you have developed those relationships of love and trust, the church as the body of Christ can work together through anything.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about things that would build trust and how we can work with one another. You're right. Relationships, it's better that I'm not having to grit my teeth. Okay, I'm going to give this person what they need, but it's hard. You're making it hard. Hopefully we can learn how to make that relationship easier for people to do right. Yes. Yes, it does.
The way I truly love God and seek to do His will is to put myself aside.
Yeah.
And if I can't do that and quit loving what I want to do, then it's going to be hard for me to do that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We've got to put ourselves aside and loving God. And getting out of self is the other thing. When we're hurt, it's very hard. Now, I want to do something, have more discussion here. And rather than you just follow my outline, why don't we just take this question? And we can just make a list on the board here. Let's list some things I give my mate because I am a Christian. I don't have nearly everything I could have put in this outline that we could have put. You're a Christian. Tell me, what do you give your mate now that you're a Christian? Because you're a Christian, regardless of what they do, regardless of how deserving they are, what do you give your mate because you are a Christian? Yes.
Mercy.
Mercy. We give them mercy. What is mercy? How would you define mercy? Oh well, I got a nice blackboard, but anyway, I'll scribble up here, and y'all know what I'm saying. Okay, mercy.
Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve.
It's kind of like grace. It's kind of like love. It's very similar. Is that you give them what they need. You also are very slow to be judge. Sometimes you think you know what another person's thinking and reasoning, and you don't. Mercy helps you to see yourself accurately. Gives the person what they need. And you don't get just, you know, what happens? You lose your emotions. You let your emotions take control. And you can run down paths that, frankly, are unmerciful. Have you ever had somebody unmercifully put you under a microscope? And next thing you know, they know what you're thinking and they know what you've done and they don't really have the facts to back that up. See, mercy helps you to stay humble and to be careful. You know, what is oftentimes found with mercy in the life of Christ? Oftentimes he talked about the Pharisees. What did they need to pursue when he talked about mercy? What's some other words here? He'd also talk about justice. And you see, the idea here again with mercy is that we don't get too big for our britches. We stay humble. Yes, my mate has weaknesses. I have weaknesses. I'm not going to try to paint this disaster where I've turned my mate into a monster unfairly. What other things do we give our mates because I'm a Christian? What do I give my mate because I'm a Christian? Yes.
A promise that I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you,
yes.
We're secure here, we're together forever.
I will never leave. I will be faithful. Sickness and health. Prosperity and adversity. Till death do we part. That's really important.
make a vow there. We'll be talking about that in the course of this lesson, but you don't. Somehow, I don't love her anymore. Things aren't going well. No, you don't do that. You are committed because you love God, okay? Give me some more. We can list so many. Because you're a Christian.
Honesty.
Honesty. Yeah. Be honest. That's hard. When you deal with relationships, talking about trust, it's hard. We have our weaknesses. We have, like, you know, the man's got a need of, and I don't think this is an arrogant pride, but the man has a need of praise, a need of respect. But a man's got weaknesses. If sometimes when you're afraid to see, you become dishonest. You hide things. You're afraid to face up. There's a lot of reasons why people are not honest. We're all tested by every one of us are tested by. But we do. We're honest because we're Christian. What else?
Three different words I think that come together in my mind is you give yourself, and that means that you are unselfish or you're selfless.
Yes. You serve, you're unselfish, you're selfless.
And that's today, that's one of the biggest issues we face because we're told in society, whatever makes you happy, do what you want to do. Do it for yourself.
And you don't have much of a relationship. Tell you, one problem in our relationship, I tell you, when we get one of the hearts of why we have trouble is because we become selfish. Become selfish and defensive, and I want you to straighten up and give me what I need. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with communicating that, actually. That's kind of where you want to get, where I want to serve you and you want to serve me, and then we talk and communicate. And sometimes, brethren, there's only one side doing that. And you make sure it's you, okay? you don't just serve them when they're willing to serve you. But if you don't serve me, okay, you violated the contract, you know. And now, here it's every man for himself. No, that's not the way it works. Because you are a Christian. And you see, this is challenging our Christianity. A lot of times when people, you know, they want to frame it another way. They want to frame it in what this person's done and really why I've got to do this because of this and this and the other. No, you do this because you're a Christian. It's not dependent upon what your mate does. Take a deep breath. this is the kind of mindset that we've got to have. Yes.
You know, I think of that, and I think about how God tells a husband to love a wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, that sacrificial giving of what I want to do. And you know, it's easy to read that and realize that, and it goes along with unselfishness. But the doing, the daily trying to pray to God for His will today, and then thinking about my wife's will instead of all I need to do, and then after what I need to do, what do I want to do in my spare time? And without getting too far into that, it's easy to think about, well, I deserve some time to do what I want and not think about her first. And that's been a struggle with me.
Yeah. Good point. Excellent. There are many others we could list. We can keep listening. Hopefully we'll have more here. Let's talk about the law of marriage today. I know with this class you know this, but I've never ceased to be amazed when you deal with situations, what I call crisis situations, of how quickly this truth is thrown out the window. And the reason why I say this, if you know this now, before an emotional time comes, then you're going to be committed not to go against it. And you really need to study this before you get into the emotional times. You know this already. Let's talk about it anyway. Matthew 19, 3 through 9. God regulates marriage. God has a law of marriage. And here it's in Matthew 19, 3. It says, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife
for just any reason. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. And they said to him, why then did Moses give a certificate of divorce to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wife, so that from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And so the point I want to make this morning, your marriage is for life. And you're committed to that. Divorce is not part of the equation. And you may say, well, Larry, what if your mate is unfaithful to you? You do have a right for divorce. But let's just look at the foundation here. I am committed for life. For life. And so as I look at this, then there's some things. Let me give you another verse. We talk about divorce. Here, Matthew 5:32, same book. Jesus said, on the Sermon on the Mount, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except for sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Now, let me ask you something. This being so, first off, we all agree, divorce for just any cause is not acceptable. The only exception is immorality, correct? Now, that being so, tell me a few things then, if you believe that, and we all believe that. What's some advice you might give to others when they make this commitment? If you are committed never to divorce, then what should never be brought up in your home as a possibility? Yeah.
Never the threat.
Yeah. Never. No, never is a threat. Don't use that word. That is abhorrent to you. Okay? Never use as a threat. You don't talk about it. And that's mistakes that people make. Well, I didn't mean it. Yeah. Well, I'll divorce you. I didn't mean it. Well, don't use it. I know you might have been angry. But don't even introduce that. Treat that with such intensity of determination. We don't mention that word as a possibility in our home. You'd be surprised of those who, in their weakness or whatever, do that. You see people all around. Now, one of the things I'll tell you, I'll give you some unfortunate examples that I've seen often. Sometimes I'll see Christians say, well, I just got a divorce from my mate. My home is too unbearable. I'm hurt too emotionally. And I want to say to them, what are you thinking? What does the Scripture say? You know what happens when I see people do that, the few experiences I've had when people have gone down that path, you know what they rarely ever mention when they talk about divorce? God. Their love for God. What God wants. You almost see people, they're all emotional, and they're thinking, this is what I need. I have to have this for my happiness. And you generally don't see God mentioned. I'm talking about people who are Christians. And could I tell you, when you decide to divorce because your marriage is not happy, not because of immorality, you decide to do that, you are taking your Christianity and going bloop, and you're throwing it overboard, okay? And you're not just divorcing your mate, you're divorcing Christ. Now you're saying, well, you say you can't be forgiven? No, you can be forgiven. But you're going to be forgiven because you repent. But that we're not going to pursue this in detail today. We're really going to talk about improving our marriages, but we've got to be determined. We have to absolutely be determined in this area. This is not an option. What does God think about divorce? Malachi 2:16. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. And there's our go back. You want to avoid divorce, take heed to your spirit. You maintain your faith in God. You maintain a humble service to God, praying every day. You maintain that relationship. Let's just ask just for a moment. Again, let's just open the door for a moment. Divorce. What happens when you divorce your mate for any reason? What happens?
Carnage.
Awful. You have no idea. It can well be said that it would have been better for your mate to have died than for you to experience divorce. Do you know what I found in the church? I found that when people go through divorce, and even when somebody innocently goes through divorce, even when they have the divorce, they have the right to. And I'm not saying that people have a right and should execute that in some circumstances. But do you know what I generally find when divorce happens almost in any circumstances? Both fall away. There are exceptions to that, and I'll tell you what I try to do when in a local church, when somebody goes through a divorce, I try to connect to them. I try to make sure they get connected with Christians and do things. There's some of the things I've done here and getting together with people that have gone and try to do that. It's very, when you go through a divorce, it just knocks you for a loop. It's terrible. And so the effort that you would spend in fixing and maintaining your marriage is worth it. You do not want to go down the path of divorce. Yes.
I was thinking in this context, if I call it hedge divorce, and a lot of people feel like the grass is green on the other side, and this is going to fix my problem. It's going to be so much better. I can't wait, you know, to put this behind me. And sometimes, like you said, there are situations you must go through a divorce. But it is difficult. It is more than difficult. It is horrible, the things that come from divorce. People don't see that side of it. You know, most of us probably in this room know people who got through very difficult times and still do because of divorce. And the person who wanting divorce usually doesn't see that. But the fact that God hates it reminds me that He doesn't want that for us. A lot of things, you know, He hates it because He knows how it will hurt us, and He doesn't want us to be hurt in that way. We have to trust His wisdom, and He knows that, you know, the laws He gives are for our good.
One point I just feel like needs to be made. Great point about not missing divorce within the marriage. You know, God tells us don't be conformed to the world. And I'm afraid, and I've seen this, you've seen this, where people going through struggles in their marriage have reached out to the world and let the world influence them.
Yes.
And they have let people in the world, we've even had it here.
Oh, yes.
They have told people, you'll be better off. Oh, this would be so much better. And they believe that. Instead of reaching within the church, within God's Word, to find out, how do I deal with this? And so, you know, as part of not conforming to the world, we need to be always, if we have struggles, reach within. Look for help. Don't be shy or bashful or embarrassed, because many of us have gone through problems. That if you don't reach out that way,
right.
You'll let the world.
Right. See, the danger is you get to the point where you really want this. You kind of, it's a lot like when you've got, you say you're going through an illness or something, and you want relief, and there's nothing wrong with wanting relief from an illness. But there's sometimes you're in a stress and you're offered deliverance, but not the right kind of deliverance. There were those being persecuted and killed. In Hebrews 11:35, it says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Satan will offer your deliverance, and Satan's deliverance is always full of lies. And the reason why people oftentimes don't talk with Christians, and sometimes it's because they're embarrassed, and that you need to get over that. But many times it is they want an answer, and they know where they can get the answer. They won't. Now, sometimes in our homes, our kids kind of know who the yes man is, but that, we're not talking about the same thing there. But there are times where you kind of, you know where you want to go and you know where you can get it. But again, and what happens, I'll tell you this, you go through something like this, you do have immediate relief. when you finally go through this, there's a period of, but then the longer term consequences hit you. So let's learn to walk by faith. Let's learn to do that. Okay, and y'all got to let me know, by the way, when the bell rings, I'm deaf to those things, so if y'all hear that. Another thing you do, because you are a Christian, you're committed to making your marriage better. When we talk about you loving your mate, here husbands directed here, wives also are as well in other verses, but husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Because I am a Christian, we're kind of reviewing this already. I will keep serving. I will try to keep learning. I will keep trying because my master is the Lord. You know, we take the master-servant relationship. Could you imagine being a slave? You know, if you were a slave in the first century, you know what God does not want you to do? He doesn't want you to go leave your master and escape and flee. He didn't establish slavery, but he did regulate it within that societal structure. And notice what he said to slaves. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongly. And here, what we find, in this case, I think we can use an employee-employer relationship. You do your best. You give your best at work. You be the best worker you can. You're in a marriage relationship, you be the best mate you can. You keep improving. You keep trying to give your best. You be humble and learn. Okay, thank you. Another thing you do, again, by the way, we're going to talk about these in great detail. We're just kind of going to hit the point here, and then we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this. But another thing to do, because you are a Christian, you'll seek to better understand your mate and better learn how to serve their needs. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, that is with the wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What if you choose not to seek to understand your mate? You're making a spiritual decision. That could affect your prayers. It could affect your relationship with God. You have the right kind of relationship with God, guess what? I'm going to have to figure out what you're thinking. I've got to figure out what you want. And you know, men and women are different. We're put together different. I'm glad we are. But you're going to be committed to learning. And by the way, the classroom never ends. There's no graduation from this one. And there's always new levels of things to learn. And we do that because we're Christian. By the way, y'all hot in here today? It's kind of, I'm kind of struggling. We'll have to work on that next time. So, what's that? The husband's sweating a little bit here. That might be it, you know. I'm sweating, and I'm teaching it. So anyway, normally, I tell you what, I normally like to teach on these classes without a vet in the class because, you know, that I can really tell people I really got this together, you know. So I assure you, as I talk about this, I can look into the mirror of God's Word and know there's a lot to learn, and that would be true of all of us. We'll go ahead and end our class at this point here. Thank you for your participation.